This is not your first electrophoresis, because we did it earlier in this term, right? That was a little bit of a different process. What is this specifically called? SDS page, right. Which is a specific kind of page. There's more than one kind of page, but page just stands for polyacrylamide gel electrophoresis. So it just means that it just indicates what the actual gel is made out of. Last time it was agarose, and those were big, thick slabs that you could manhandle. Not true for this. This is a polyacrylamide gel that's very thin and easily broken, so hopefully you won't even touch it. That's why it's sandwiched between two pieces of plastic in the cassette. But specifically, we're using SDS page, and SDS stands for sodium dodecyl sulfate, which is a detergent. And this is a specific example of denaturing electrophoresis. Remember that I said that there are three properties of the actual particles that matter to the mobility. What are those? Charge, size, and shape, right? Those are three variables. Well, we want to actually eliminate two of those variables. That's why we're using this particular kind of electrophoresis. And so we want there to be only one thing that matters, one variable. What is that? Not charge, not shape, size. Yeah, size is the only thing we want to matter, because that's what we're trying to determine, the sizes of them. So if charge mattered or shape mattered, we would confuse the size based on how far they traveled, right? By allowing only, or by forcing only size to matter as far as how far they're going to travel in a given amount of time, that means we should be able to figure out how big they are based on that distance traveled in that amount of time. So once again, you're going to make, just like for the RNA, you're going to make a standard curve. And for the same reason, this standard curve is not going to be linear if you use linear paper, right? Which is why you don't. You use semi-log paper. Now, you can't do your graphing today because you're not going to get your measurements until next week. But you're going to make a standard curve based on the ladder. The ladder is formed from standards, and they're standards because you know going into it how big they are, right? Where do you get those sizes or those masses for the standards? You want me to answer that? Okay. There's a little, it might be in the procedure as well, but there's a little in your plastic bag, a little card with a pink background that shows you a picture of the ladder as it's supposed to appear in your gel. You should bother to take a snapshot of that. And that's how your ladder should appear today before you actually stain it, because once you stain it, you won't see the pink ones anymore. They'll all be blue. Anyway, next to each ladder rung, you see the mass listed. Well, when you graph the standards, what goes on the y-axis of the semi-log paper? Which is the logarithmic axis. Yeah, the mass. Not the log of the mass. If you calculate the log and then put it on log linear paper, you're really plotting the log of the log, which is going to make it, once again, nonlinear. The reason you're using semi-log paper is because the relationship between mobility and mass is nonlinear. You want to try to linearize it by doing that. So yeah, the y value for each point is the mass that you get from that little thing I told you to photograph. And the x value is the distance that particular ladder traveled from the well, right after you blow up your picture next week so that you can get good measurements. That'll give you 10 points, because your ladder should have 10 rungs in it. There are 10 standards in that mixture. Those 10 points should be roughly linear if you do it on this paper, and therefore you hand draw a line of best fit. That's your standard curve. All right? Then, like I say, all of this is next week because you can't do this today yet. In your other lanes that have your samples from the acetone powder suspensions, any bands that you find in there, you can measure the distances for, right? Well, you find that distance on the x-axis. You go up to your standard curve line, and then straight over to the y-axis, and you read the size of that unknown protein. That's how you use the standard curve graphically rather than mathematically. Does that all make sense? Okay, what? As far as finishing up today, you'll be done as soon as you add your stain, but do not skimp on the wash steps. You need to do 3 washes. So if you haven't done so already, you should. Each group should get 2 containers, and with tape, label them both. On both, put your group and Tuesday 145. And then on one of them, put A, and one of them, put B. Make sure you keep track of which gel is A and which is B. You should already know that based on where they are in the container. All right? And you should also fill them up with about 2 centimeters depth of water so that you're ready to go as soon as the gels are done. You need to do the washes, which is hard to do because you're going to want to leave. But it's important to do the washes because you need to get that SDS out of the gel so that the stain can take well to the proteins. So 3 washes each time you're emptying that out, of course not into the sink, into the 5-gallon bucket on the floor. And that includes the third time. You get rid of that third wash before you add stain, so there's nothing but stain in the final one. When you do pour it out into the 5-gallon bucket, use your gloved hand to make sure that you don't spill the gel itself into the bucket, in which case you'll ruin everything. So do that. But when it comes time to staining, it's just one plunge of this down to the black mark. That's the proper amount of stain. Now, each time you wash it, you'll be using the belly dancer. And you can stack your containers so that everyone can be dancing at the same time. Yeah.